Our next presenter is Dr. Fred Winter. He's the Senior Program Officer for the Office of Challenge Grants within the office. Dr. Winter works with higher education applicants as well as historical societies and sites, museums, and public media centers. He was the founding coordinator for the NEH We the People Challenge Grants in American History, Institutions, and Culture, and he currently serves the NEH Task Force for its Digital Humanities Initiative. Dr. Winter will be speaking today on grants opportunities that exist in NEH. Dr. Winter.
Good morning. Thank you. Delighted to be with you. Wish I could actually be with you, but our travel budget constrained my getting up to New Jersey. Internet 2 made it possible for me to be there, and so I thank the folks down in the Washington, D.C. Internet 2 office for making all this possible. I want to warn whoever is pushing ahead the slides that we're going to be working through the PowerPoint very quickly. We'll try and keep this within the 25-minute framework that we've been asked to take, and then we'll have time for some questions when the program is all done. I guess we have the first slide up. Is there a way that I can see the slides from this end? So I know where we are. If not, we've got a slide in the front that says Digital Humanities Initiative and has today's dates. And since the slide was designed for a program that I did on Friday that was online but didn't have video, it has a picture of me so people can see who the speaker is. You don't need that one, so we can skip to the second slide that has the 6 points that I'm going to try and cover this morning. Begin with a few general considerations about NEH grants and their funding opportunities. Move on to talk about NEH's history supporting digital projects and digital infrastructure grants. Look at some general issues regarding NEH grant-making processes. Look ahead to our new Digital Humanities Initiative, which is the main theme for the morning. Then talk about specific application processes for the DHI, and go from there to, if we have time, talk about the future of this funding opportunity. At the beginning, let me say at the outset, there are three general points that need to be stressed about the National Endowment for the Humanities. And if that would be the next slide, we'd shift to that one. And they are that as a matter of general policy and a matter of absolute practice, NEH encourages potential applicants to be in touch with us to talk about your ideas, to talk about possible funding programs, and to even send us drafts of pending applications in all of our institutional grant categories. So the first key to success with the endowment is to talk with us, to consult. The second key is that we really don't give out grants to anyone who doesn't ask for the grants. So you do have to apply. We have more than 30 funding programs that have deadlines over the course of the year. You are never precluded from applying to one funding opportunity if you have an application pending with another, so that multiple applications are permissible and desirable to a certain extent. It gives you a chance to hedge your programmatic bets. So apply for grants, and if you're not successful, we reconstitute the review panels every funding cycle. You get copies of the reviews if you ask for them, and you can use those to help retool an application, which means the rule for NEH success is to reapply for grants if you're not successful after applying for grants. The program overall, someone always asks what the funding ratios are. We support about 20% of the applications that come to us. That's, of course, a meaningless statistic. Each funding opportunity has its own proportion, its own ratio. The one key is that the funding ratio goes up dramatically for applicants who reapply because they get the review copies. The open consultation process is available to them in a second cycle, and the grants usually come in stronger than they were in the first opportunity. In order to consult, the best way to stay in touch with us, we can go to the next slide now, is to use email. Everybody at NEH is available, first initial, last name at NEH.gov. That makes me F. Winter at NEH.gov. My direct line phone number is up on the screen now. And the next question is, where's the mailing address? And that is that it's not posted up here because the mail that you send to me down in Washington comes to Washington, is recycled back up to Ohio or to New Jersey. It's screened for anthrax contamination and then sent back to Washington. It takes anywhere from 3 days to 6 weeks for the process to go forward. Photographic emulsion bleeds onto the page in front of us. CDs become sort of little roller coasters because they warp in the process, and even laser ink can sometimes glue to the page ahead. So first-class mail and priority mail are not the best way to stay in touch with government offices at the moment. The internet is. Express carriers like Express Mail, UPS, FedEx, are also the way to be in touch. But for grant applications now, all of our applications are coming in online through a program called grants.gov that we may have time to talk about at the end of my session. I should probably take my watch off so I can keep track of the time. Go to the next slide, and I wanted to spend a minute or two talking about the history of NEH support for digital grants. There are various frameworks that we've used for our support for digital projects over the years. The next slide would highlight one of them, and that is our work on databases and searchable archives of literature ranging from classical antiquity up to the modern world. We started this work in the 1970s and 1980s with a thesaurus lingua graecae that eventually put the entire corpus of classical Greek literature onto one CD. Moved ahead with other database programs and are now getting ready to launch jointly with the Library of Congress something called the National Digital Libraries Program, National Digital Newspaper Program, which will by the end of the decade put literally millions of pages of 19th and 18th century U.S. newspapers online and available for generic public access so that students in classes can, if they want, read the editorials that followed the Lincoln and Garfield assassinations to compare those two events, take a look at how the Mexican War was viewed in newspapers and editorial policies in eastern Pennsylvania versus western Pennsylvania, northern New Jersey versus southern New Jersey, and other data resources for the 19th century around the country. So archives and databases are one thing that we've been doing for a number of years. The next slide will focus us on web-based resources for teaching and learning. That's a funding opportunity that we still have going but have been involved in since the mid-1990s and is expressed most clearly through the NEH web portal EdCitement, where we maintain programs that are peer-reviewed and put up as the exemplary demonstrations of humanities on the web, linking websites with curriculum resources designed for middle and high school and introductory college programs, and giving access to not only NEH-funded, but NEH-basically endorsed programs from around the world. We've also used our grants to build campus infrastructures for advanced technology initiatives in the humanities. We can go to the next slide. I've highlighted here the Maryland Institute for Technology in the Humanities, which received a challenge grant in the late 1990s for roughly $400,000, matched it with more than $1.5 million, and ended up with a generic center for advanced technology practices. But we can also claim to have had a share in the contribution of the construction of the Scholarly Communication Center at Rutgers. That was a challenge grant in around 1994. The George Mason University Center for History and New Media, Columbia University for Art History and Media, and other infrastructures around the globe. We're following up on this spring with a Digital Humanities Summit in April, where we'll bring together the directors from 19 of the nation's leading technology centers, link them in with leading funders for technology projects, and try and put together, in response to the ACLS Cyber Infrastructure Report that came out last summer, a coalition of national digital humanities centers that can be both the locus for humanities research and also a collaborative group to avoid probabilities of redundancy in the nation's technology infrastructure for humanities. Building centers is one thing we've done. Another is that we've, go to the next slide, supported multimedia tools for teaching and learning in the humanities. The one demonstration I put up here is the Voyager-produced, NEH partially funded, Who Built America project, the American Social History Project's textbook for American history that linked narrative text with multimedia resources, video, audio, additional text materials in a textbook that covered the late 19th into the early 20th century and is now being followed up by other programs through the City University of New York and George Mason University. And finally, I wanted to highlight our work in multifaceted tools for teaching, learning, and research. The one example that I put up is the Perseus project, developed by Greg Crane, now at Tufts University. Perseus is a database of, in classical Greek literature, translation, Latin literature, also in translation, and along with it, lexicons for being able to understand and read the classical languages, and an archive of about 25,000 images of classical landscapes and classical artifacts. Greg Crane had pointed out that with the use of Perseus, one could, for example, take an undergraduate freshman course in classical lit or in Greek literature and translation. Tell the students what word to search for, use that with the lexicon, and have undergraduates in a freshman course analyzing, for example, Plato's use of the verb to create in the format that it started with in his early dialogues, where it ended up in his late dialogues, and have today's undergraduates doing things that would have required a doctoral candidate to have achieved at the University of Heidelberg in the 19th century. The issue for Greg and for NEH is that once you've got freshmen today doing things that doctoral candidates were only the only people able to do in the 19th century, what do you want today's doctoral candidates to do, and what do you see as the new horizons for today's freshmen to be working on? And that's where we come to the next slide, which is the NEH Digital Humanities Initiative. Our DHI was announced last spring by our chairman, Bruce Cole, an art historian from Indiana University, and it was designed to both incorporate individual siloed funding opportunities and to become an agency-wide perspective on digital projects across the funding opportunities of the endowment. We'll look at the five silos in a minute. These are the Digital Humanities Fellowships, Startup Grants, the Workshops, challenge grants, and the advancing knowledge projects. But first, I wanted to give a couple of words about general ideas about NEH funding. So if we can shift to the next slide, to remind you that the National Endowment for the Humanities is indeed the National Endowment for the Humanities. We are mandated to support only things in those fields that Congress has defined as the humanities, fields like history, literature, archaeology, philosophy, art history, but not the practice of art, the history of science, but not the practice of science. And we can go to the next slide, which is our founding legislation language. It sets out quite neatly exactly where we're allowed to support and where we're not. This doesn't leave computer scientists and other fields out of the picture. It just means that they have to find collaboration within NEH's fields in order to be able to participate in the programs. And I'm not going to read that whole slide now because we're limited in time, but it's there, and the slide program is either downloadable from your site or email me at fwinter@neh.gov if you want me to send you a copy. After all, you paid for it last April 15th. Our next slide coming up reminds you that everything that is supported from NEH is done on the basis of peer review. Scholars in the humanities are either brought to Washington or involved through online panels in the assessment of every grant application that's made to NEH. These peer review panels are then rate the proposals as well as provide evaluations for them. The ratings usually are either excellent or very good. Those indicate funding at a greater or lesser priority. A fence straddling good is allowed in some of our programs, but not in mine. Some merit or merit means that there is value here, but it's not ready for federal intervention and support yet. Not recommended or rejected means that it's a field that's outside the humanities. It's something NEH shouldn't do or doesn't do, and the application really needs monumental retooling in order to be supportable. The peer review evaluations are then sent on to the National Council for the Humanities, a presidentially appointed board of 26 citizens, which makes the formal recommendations, fund this or don't fund that. These are recommendations. They are then passed on to the chairman, a presidentially appointed administrator, who makes the actual funding decisions regarding the support or not support of grants. Within this process, there is no basis for appeal of a decision except through the process of resubmission of applications, but resubmissions are always welcome. That sort of background, and now let's take a look at our Digital Humanities Initiative. The DHI, again, started last summer, or last spring, with our chairman bringing together a group of digital technology leaders in the humanities and announcing a special initiative that would cover NEH's funding programs. The idea of this was simultaneously to enhance understanding of how the technologies are used and how they bring about changes in our life and in our world as the result of being available to today's students and teachers and public. What is the impact of the humanities on the technology, on the humanities, how the humanities, in other words, have changed as a result of these programs, and to make materials accessible that weren't accessible before and quantities that weren't available before with search tools that didn't allow for access before. When this was first put in place, the staff at NEH was kind of skeptical, frankly. We knew that we'd been supporting digital technologies for a long time at NEH and didn't see the need for a special initiative. We're now beginning to come on board and agree that both the possibilities and also the chances for congressional interest and an increase in our budget, which means more grants and more money, justify certainly the initiative and the proposal. The other part that inspired the Digital Humanities Initiative was the publication American Council for Learned Societies of our our cultural commonwealth, the so-called cyber infrastructure report that's available online through the ACLS, which again talked about increased government collaboration and intervention in this area, increased collaboration amongst the cyber centers, and the increased commitment of the country to advanced technology in support of education and learning. We've maintained, and we go to the next slide, and hopefully you're looking at something that says NEH Digital Humanities Initiative, a email newsletter on the Digital Humanities Initiative that's available on a monthly basis only. We don't send out more spam than that. By writing to grants.neh.gov, DHIASP, and asking to be signed on. If you want to keep track of things at NEH, the other places that we use for dissemination of information are our email generic newsletter, and go to the next slide, NEH Connect, for which the URL is up at the top, and then we publish a bi-monthly magazine, Humanities Magazine, which has the full range of our guidelines each bi-monthly publication. Okay, that's used up enough time for background. Let's talk specifically about the special funding opportunities that are part of the NEH-DHI as it's now conceived. Go to the next slide. The first component of our special funding for digital humanities fellowships are our new digital humanities individual research awards. These are grants that are given to single scholars, postdoctoral, in other words, you need to have full certification within your field for support. They're available to independent scholars as well as to college and university faculty members. Deadline is on May 1st, and the maximum award for a full year of participation is $50,000 and a little bit more. These can be used for up to 6 months or more of active engagement in digital humanities research, and in order to make the research more available and make the plans more completable, we've included a special stipend of $25,000 on top of the fellowship that can go towards the support of travel to or collaboration with computer centers that would make humanities scholars more amenable to working within the advanced technologies. The grant then fully total is $75,400 for a full year of activity if it involves the expenses of traveling to one of the cyber centers, for example, or other collaborations with computer science programs. The next grant in this new array of funding opportunities is something called Digital Humanities Startup Grants. We can go to the next slide on that one. That had two deadlines this past year, one deadline already and one deadline coming up in a couple of weeks, November 15th and April 3rd. These grants were up to $30,000 for up to 18 months of activities to start a new initiative within the humanities. Startup is a key part of this. We're looking at these to be visions of larger programs, larger technology initiatives within the humanities. If you can do the whole thing within the time of the startup grant and within the $30,000, you're not being ambitious enough. The grants are designed to have a large vision. They hopefully will succeed, but we've acknowledged that some of them are going to be experimental, and with experiments, some of them are not going to be successful. And that's actually acceptable or part of the package within these grant programs. They involve a requirement that there be assessment not only of the Digital Humanities Startup Grant activities, but also of the formative aspect of the startup grant activities towards the larger project that the startup grants will entail. They are designed to be innovative, and so if we can go to the next slide, we warn applicants that the two things that we're not looking for within this funding program are taking new information it into existing technological formats, a kind of new wine and old bottles approach, for which we have other funding opportunities that can address existing technologies. Looking for our favorite acronym at the moment, RUMSOTA, if you can pronounce that, run-of-the-mill state-of-the-art projects rather than truly innovative programs within the startup grants. The next program we have had a deadline in January, and these were the digital humanities workshops. These were designed to help school teachers, that is K through 12, learn to utilize the World Wide Web more effectively within their, their classrooms. We're also thinking about expanding that for a future cycle with the possibility of looking at Second Life adaptations, virtual reality adaptations, as well as website adaptations. The grants range from $30,000 if the grant is directed towards a single institution to $100,000 if it's systemic and working with more than one school or with a school system. As the next to the last program in our new cycle, we have our Digital Humanities Challenge grants. It's the next slide. These are grants for up to $1 million in federal funds to build infrastructure for the humanities. Challenge grants are designed to support long-term initiatives, that is the acquisition of technology, endowment for staff positions, endowment for the acquisition of software and hardware, technology purchase, and then technology maintenance. The catch here is that the NEH money requires a non-federal match. The good news is that you're allowed to have up to 4 years to raise the matching funds that would trigger the release of the federal dollars. Challenge grants have a deadline on May 1st, in other words, about a month and a few weeks ahead, and we're looking towards the second cycle. The first cycle of these and the first cycle of the Digital Humanities Startup grants are now announced and up on our website and will be available for dissemination as samples of proposals shortly. The final funding opportunity we have is one that has a deadline next week. It's going to take a little bit of fast writing to get ready for, but these are the Advancing Knowledge, a joint program between the Institute for Museum and Library Services and NEH. Deadline is March 27th, and the awards are up to $350,000 for multiple years of activity, developing model programs that involve collaborations between museums, libraries, and other institutions, including colleges and universities. A key element within the Advancing Knowledge grant, since they are designed to be models, is the production of a white paper describing the process of the grant and the end results of the grant that will be available to the country after the grant is completed. You can go to the next slide. And we will spend a moment here talking about how to apply for these and other NEH grants. How am I doing on time? I think I've got about 10 minutes left. Is that right, Mike? Hey, nobody's stopping me. So, okay, we've got at least 10 minutes left.
Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Digital Humanities Initiative applying for grants. We'll go to the next slide that shows you our website. All of our guidelines are up on the web. Under that Digital Humanities block on the left, you have a block that says apply for a grant. Click on that. It puts you into all of our guidelines. We no longer publish guidelines, and certainly not for the Digital Humanities Initiative, where we're trying to model three sessions like this, among other things, the use of emerging technologies in order to provide for grant applications and for the process of NEH funding. So guidelines are available and downloadable off the web. Once you've read the guidelines, the instructions are all there. Talk with us and consult. Read drafts of sent in a draft of your application. Read samples of similar applications. The application deadline comes around, and that puts you into contact with the new federal grant portal, grants.gov. We can go to the next slide. That embodies within it the grant programs of about, at this point, I think, 26 federal funding opportunity, funding programs, grant-making programs, that is, agencies, each one incorporating multiple grant programs, has access to the full guidelines for there, has search tools that are of greater or lesser success in ferreting out the grant programs that you might want, but is the application portal through which your application has to go. And I will warn you that if you haven't used grants.gov before, give yourself a little bit of extra time for the submission, because it's not a unproblematic portal at this stage. Grants.gov is the way in. Take a look at the future of the DHI for a moment, and I think we can skip quickly over the next two slides because those are repeats. I've already shown you where our online resource is through the Digital Humanities Initiative and through NEH Connect, but we can jump ahead to the President's budget for 2008. Which shows either level or slightly reduced funding for most of the categories at NEH, except a slight bump, $1,400,000, for the Digital Humanities Initiative. That's a testimonial towards the program. It's not the limit of the funding for the program, which is going to come from surcharges on all of the funding within our different divisions at NEH. Our total budget for the year, according to the President, is to be around $141 million. There's a chance for an additional supplement on that from Congress. If you feel good about the number, remember that in 1995 we had $172 million. So we're still playing catch up from where we were in the mid-90s, but we are reasonably secure in terms of the funding programs that we have. That's our lightning oversight overview of the Digital Humanities Initiative. The next slide asks you the key question, what is it that we're not doing that we ought to be doing? We'd love to hear from you because this is an evolving program. The Digital Humanities Initiative is a special initiative. Excuse me. As such, it doesn't guarantee its format. It doesn't guarantee its continuation on into the future. The fact that we have a DHI budget in the line for the President's budget for 2008 tells us that probably these funding programs will be there, but also remember that budget has not yet been passed. And we expect that there will be changes in at least some of the DHI funding components as we move to the 2008 fiscal year, which begins on October 1st. Among them, the fellowships will probably stay more or less the same. The challenge grants will stay more or less the same. The faculty workshops or the teacher workshops are probably going to expand. The digital humanities startup grants are going to change dramatically, we think. And the advancing knowledge grants are up for grabs depending upon the budget of NEH and the IMLS and our continuation of a collaboration along those lines. That's enough for me. I've left a little bit of time for questions. What can I talk more about or what can I clarify?
I just want to say a couple of things. At each of the sites, we have handouts from NEH on the Digital Humanities Initiative and the other programs that Fred discussed. Over here in the New Brunswick location, over on table number 24. If anyone has any questions, you can run out of the handout, come see me, and I will make sure that you get those. And Fred is available for questions if we have any questions here in New Brunswick. Down in Camden. No questions, Fred. Newark, Robert, do we have audio from you? I see that we have video.
Fred, thank you very much. Looks like there are no questions. Thank you very much for that informative presentation.
Thank you.